Well, I sure do appreciate the worshipers around this house. I really do. It's so much fun to be a part of a place that enjoys the presence of God and seeks after Him. There's a statement in John chapter 1 that says that the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm hearing something, and it might be right here. Does that pretty much seal it? I think what we have. There, that's better, isn't it? The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Remember, since the fall, all of creation was under darkness. And then Jesus comes as the light into darkness, and this darkness is ruled. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 reminds us that this place was locked down tight, that there was a struggle going on, but it wasn't a struggle between us and flesh, that there was an actual demonic government in place. And that we come into this darkness, Jesus comes into this darkness against rulers and powers and forces of this darkness, against the spiritual wickedness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, the light came into that scenario, and it says that following John's arrest, Jesus went about declaring the gospel of the kingdom. We've spent the better part of this year with me trying to get us to Matthew chapter 28, and by God's grace, we'll get there before Labor Day. I'm hoping, because I had intended to move us on toward Mark today, but I found we've got one more little stepping stone to put in place. We've been hanging out in Acts chapter 2 for a little while, and I feel compelled to go back there for one more visit, because although we dealt with the issue of water baptism, I think, and with some clarity last week, before we proceed, we need to give some attention to what the Lord's intent was when He said, I will send to you the promise of the Father not many days hence. So tarry you here in Jerusalem until you receive power. Now, as Peter stands in that moment with the 11, he's going through some connecting the dots suddenly. How many of you can recall certain, or if you can't recall the questions, you recall having questions about Christianity before you became one? For those of you who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you remember the rational things that went off in your mind to try to come to grips mentally with this irrational spiritual phenomenon? And you thought, well, and then suddenly you were speaking in tongues, and it's like the questions didn't matter anymore. I've reached this conclusion in a lot of ways. God attempts to give us an experience and then give us an explanation, because it's difficult to explain an experience that you haven't had. So Jesus had promised to them, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. And they kind of hung out expecting it. UPS didn't come. FedEx didn't arrive. Nobody's cell phone rang. They're waiting and waiting day after day. And all of a sudden, there was a breeze. A strong breeze. I wonder if it blew the doors open. Wouldn't that be fun? And cloven tongues of fire. Boy, that's picturesque, isn't it? It sounds so holy. But imagine you standing there, never having seen it, never having heard of it, didn't know what to expect, and suddenly somebody starts doing a Michael Jackson on you. The hair was on fire. I'm reaching. I know I'm reaching. And wind and fire and utterance and commotion, and right in the middle of crowded streets, and a large crowd assembles, and Peter goes out and he starts connecting the dots. This is that, he said. That which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, I will make note just in passing for some time later that he says that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall speak in tongues. What does it say they'll do? Prophesy. And upon your, on my handmaidens and servants, I will pour out my spirit. Now listen, we'll come back to that as a manifestation in a bit, but I want to show you something. Peter's standing there in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. He says, this Jesus, having preached, you know, that the gospel of the kingdom was the fact that the king had come, the descendant of David was here, and you rejected your king. The gospel of the kingdom is about changing governments. So he says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Remember, there had to be 12 witnesses to satisfy the requirements of the Beth Din. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father, make note of this, I'm going to come back to it, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, has poured forth this, which you both now what? See and hear. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about being a Spirit-filled Christian is that you get a chance to see stuff. I remember listening to and I don't remember the guy's name. He's pretty funny. He's a Christian comedian, and he was in this concert, and he was one of the acts in this concert. And he says, you know, you Pentecostals really make us Baptists mad. You get to see this, demons cast out, and blind eyes open, and deaf. We don't get to see anything. But I'm comforted by the fact that Jesus said, blessed is he who has not seen and still believes. I gave up some stuff to get into this stuff. And I'm telling you, this stuff is more fun and it's worth it. Because the Lord's reality is so near and dear routinely to me that I gladly count everything that I lost as whatever Paul said it was. Refuge. Now, Peter says that this Jesus has ascended to the Father. So where is Jesus? Seated at the right hand of the Father. I pose the question, who's minding the store? Who's running the family business? The promise of the Father was that God the Holy Spirit would come and be both with you and in you. And what's the significance of that? If Jesus, who has all authority, is seated at the right hand of the Father, to whom then has he sent his authority as his delegate? God the Holy Spirit. That's what the day of Pentecost was about. It was about bringing the authority that Jesus had purchased back into time and space through the person of God the Holy Spirit. He is the delegate of the Godhead on site. Think of him as your supervisor. He's the guy running the job that's been assigned to you. All right? And he's with you for very specific purposes. Listen to this. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit in the man, the man's spirit? In similar fashion, the thoughts of God no one knows except whom? The Spirit of God. The thoughts of God, that which God has intended in his heart towards you, no one knows but his Spirit. Uh-oh. What does that mean? Now, we have received the Holy Spirit who is from God. And if we have received him, what does he bring with him? The very thoughts of God towards you. The intentions of God's heart, that which he had in his mind before you ever came to be, that which he fully saw and understood, the exact expression of what he wanted to communicate in a particular generation within a particular boundary at a particular time through a special person, that was you. And he sent his spirit to you to actualize those things which were in his heart to say, express, do, and reveal through you. That's cool. That's really cool. We have received that Spirit, the one that knows the thoughts of God towards you. Now, there are some questions that are rhetorical, and there are some that are self-evident. Don't you think it would be wise if we would learn to communicate with the one who's got all these good things stowed up for you? Well, yeah. And so the Lord has made provision for that very thing to take place. He made all kinds of promises. Now, some of this you've heard before. John chapter 20, Jesus says, materializes in the room. It's kind of like a David Copperfield moment for the disciples. And Jesus is suddenly there. And of course, when the dead come among you, it's comforting when they say peace. I come in peace. Peace be with you. He breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit, and told them this. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Note that he did not say, as the Father sat me down, so I am seating you. It's not seating, it's what? Sending. Sending you where? Back into the same environment where light first came to shine, out in darkness. I am sent, as the Father sent me into darkness, I'm sending you into darkness. Therefore, you're going to need the very thing that I had when he sent me, and that is God the Holy Spirit with you. So receive the Holy Spirit, because I'm sending you to fulfill that which our Father had on his mind before you were ever created. Listen to this pattern. In Luke chapter 3, verse 22, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Now, we think of the dove coming down. That's fine. Use any image you want to. The point was, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. In Luke 4, 1, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit descended, and then Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says that he returned in the what? Power of the Spirit. The Spirit descended, he was full of it, and moved in the power of it. Does that sound like an invitation that God might have made to you? As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. You should anticipate that the Spirit will descend, you will be full, and you shall move in power. What's the point of having a model if you can't connect the dots? Jesus was put on display for our benefit so that we could have a V8 moment. I get it. Now, of Jesus, it is said in Peter's presentation to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He says, and you've heard about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with. What? The Holy Spirit and what? Power. Can you make a connection between the Holy Spirit and power? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That if you're going to be sent into darkness as he was sent into darkness, you need to go with the same equipment, and the equipment represents a twofold anointing. You have both the companionship of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power that his companionship brings. Aren't you glad your gun is loaded? Love it when Mahesh talks about these evangelical Dr. So-and-sos and Dr. So-and-sos when they start discussing, you know, the invalidity of demonic stuff, activity in the earth today, because we know that those things are safe because this is millennial reign of Christ, you know, and I have this conclusion about that. If this is heaven, God can have it. But I like it. He says, you know, that's fine. When a demon starts to manifest in your presence, show him your degree. Man, I want a loaded gun when I'm getting talked at by a demon out of somebody's body. And if you haven't had that joyful encounter, I will pray that the Lord will set you up. That's how I pray it anyway, just so you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Jesus went about doing good. Now, what does that phrase, doing good, call to mind? Did he cast out devils? Did he cleanse lepers? Did he raise the dead? Did the blind see? Did the deaf hear? When he went about doing good, did he feed people? Did he forgive their sins? When he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and sent into darkness to do these things, and then he says to you, I am, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Can you see perhaps a possible ministry in your future? Well, if that's the case, then you have a decision to make. The first is, am I actually going to be a follower of Christ? Because if all you're going to do is sit rather than go, you don't need this much. I mean, you're going to get your pocket picked and your life's going to be ripped off and there'll be trauma in your life you can't deal with because you've got no power. But other than that, you don't really need the Holy Spirit. It's my job to make the way you think look dumb. Okay, it's my job. Because until somebody says it the way it is, we just kind of walk along. Well, I'm not really sure
I believe in that. I'm not sure I care for that at all. Because, you know, I've seen some of those folks, and really, they just seem just a bit, well, if I might be so bold to say, mental.
No, they're not. They're the spiritual ones. It's the mentals who are got
the degrees.
All right. I'm going to have to eat those words in about 4 years. Now, it says of Jesus that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good because, why? Because God was with him. Now, we'll get to this next week, but I'll just pitch a commercial for it. Mark chapter 16 says, and they went out everywhere preaching the good news, and guess what? Guess what was with them? Signs and wonders. And how is that possible? Because the Lord was with them, confirming what? His word with signs following. Have you ever wondered why your word's not being confirmed with signs following? Your word, his word. Take your pick. One's more fun than the other, trust me. I want you to see the unity in the Godhead on this business of the promise of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. Jesus says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, make note of that phrase, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? All things. Whatever you're going to need to know in the moment, listen to me, folks. This is the beauty of him manifesting himself through you in the moment. Whatever you need, he is. Do you understand me? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, verse 7 says, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation of the what? The Spirit. To one is given the word of wisdom. To another, the word of faith. To another, a word of knowledge. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, but all these are by the same Spirit. So when you and he walk in there, regardless of what your usual manifestation of him is, the whole plant comes with you. You following? It's nice to be an apostle and travel with a prophetic person. But if you don't have a prophetic person and you need prophecy, guess what? You prophesy. It's nice to travel with one who moves in demonstrations of healing. But guess what? If you don't have one, what are you going to do? You're going to heal. Why? Because you and he are enough. If he's your sidekick, hey, guess who the sidekick is? John 15:26, when the Helper comes, note this, change. When the Helper comes, before it was whom the Father will send in my name. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So whenever he comes, and make note of this, those of you who haven't crossed the threshold yet. What the Holy Spirit does is that he comes to reveal more of your Jesus to you. Is that a bad deal? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you had an inside friend? Somebody on the inside pointing the way to where you want to go. If you're a follower of Christ and you want to be like Jesus, hook up with the guy who reveals Christ. He will testify about me. That is, he's not coming to speak of his own. He's coming to tell you about me. Luke 24:49, he says, behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Now, this was the Lord's agenda. He modeled it for us. He made these promises to us. And then it becomes fulfilled among his followers. In Acts chapter 1. Now, remember, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and Acts. In the later dating of the Testaments, the books of the New Testament, it appears that Acts would have been the first book written. Okay? This would be important later on. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is just about to blow town for good. And he gathers them together and he commands them not to leave Jerusalem. Now remember, Passover, 50 days later, Pentecost. So he's been with them, seen among them for about 40 days. And he commands them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized what? With water. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when that comes, you will give testimony to me. Now, what does it mean to give testimony? I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help me God. Right? Is that what you do? And then what do? You give your testimony. Did you know that the testimony of an event can vary between two individuals who saw the same thing? Absolutely. I remember once my dad, my brother, a brother-in-law, there was a fourth one, probably another brother-in-law. We had a shotgun slung over our shoulders, headed out to do some bird hunting, not far from my daddy's house deep in the woods. And we stumble upon these guys who apparently were stuffing something in a hole. They greeted us warmly. We greeted them friendly. We went on our way, crossed the top of the hill, got down on our hands and knees, crawled back to the top of the hill and watched. All right? They finished unloading the station wagon, and they drove away. We went back down, uncovered the hole, and I'd never really seen marijuana before, but there was just bricks and bricks and bricks and bricks. I mean, it was a big, deep hole full of this stuff. So we called the police. And I remember the police officer, well, what kind of car was it? I said, it was a green station wagon. My brother-in-law goes, no, it was blue. I said, no, it was green. We stood there arguing about what color the car was. No, we had not been smoking. We were just seeing the same incident differently. So it becomes prudent that we have witnesses to what the Lord does. Because anytime we share a testimony, there are two aspects on the testimony. The one who prayed and the one who received prayer. Okay? And there's a phenomenon that's happening with the prayer that's different from what's being experienced by the prayee. However, it's all the same spirit. And so we get to stand up and tell two sides of the same story, and it makes God look really big. This is for all you old timers.
Really, really big.
Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? That was a political question, and he set something aside. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, parenthetically. Just because he said that generation didn't know doesn't mean there won't be a generation that will know. That's another message. Some other time, here we go. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall go be my witnesses. Not sit and be my witnesses. He even spells out. Here's the deal. Where you live, where you don't want to live, where all of your people live, and where your people don't live. Okay? Now, I'll make note of this for you followers of Christ. Would you consider the apostles followers of Christ? Did you know they did not leave Jerusalem? They did not go to Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world until persecution came. When Herod killed James, they thought, I have an idea. Why don't we go to, say, Samaria and perhaps visit Judea? And, you know, there's places I'm sure the Lord would like us to visit with the gospel we haven't yet seen. So if you're going to be a follower of Christ, trust me, he's going to get you to do what he wants you to do. And so you think it's your idea. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that was to the Jews. In Acts chapter 11, Peter is having to defend to the Jewish leaders the fact that he went to the Gentiles. And he gives this explanation in Acts chapter 11. He says, "And the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did on us at the beginning." Now, how would he know that? Does anybody remember how they know? As he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, without an altar call, the Gentiles began to speak in other tongues. And the Jews, who were standing there, kind of went. And Peter thought, so Peter said, hey guys, Can anyone forbid that these be water baptized, seeing they receive the Holy Spirit just like we did? That was a political thing on his part, because he knows he's not supposed to be there. So in Acts chapter 11, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it did on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord." Talking to the elders, go over their head to remind them,
this is not about you.
"I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" I love that story. You don't see the humor in it. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well, looks like God's going to save the Gentiles too." And all the Gentiles said, "Amen." Okay. This is good news for you. Now, when Peter is declaring this thing, he makes this statement. He says to them, "You need to repent, be water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and all your posterity." Understand the importance of that statement. You cannot say that it stopped in Acts if it's promised to every generation. Okay? Now, since a lot of people know that, what they'll tell you is you cannot develop doctrine from a narrative. Until, of course, they go into the Gospels and start preaching from a narrative to develop doctrine. I'm sorry, you didn't go to school. Forget it. Now, what we know is that these people had a major encounter with God the Holy Spirit, and it began to affect the known world. And so that by the time the book of Acts is written, around 70 A.D., there's been an awful lot of history accumulate as they have gone to the uttermost parts of the world carrying this gospel. So as they begin to write other documents to encourage us, they have further insights to authenticate the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. One such statement is John chapter 16:8, which indicates that the reason you came to Christ is because of God, the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who went after you. "I found Jesus." No, you didn't. He came after you. He came to seek and to save your lost, whatever you call it. And it was the Holy Spirit who convicted you of sin and righteousness and judgment. And in John 3:6, the Lord instructs that you must be born not only of the flesh, but once you get into this realm, your spirit has to be regenerated from above. Who do you suppose the above part is? It's God, the Holy Spirit. He's the agent of regeneration. Additionally, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that once you come to Christ, that whole idea that God had about you before you ever were, he finds your spot in the body, and it's the Spirit of God that baptizes you into your place in the body. So you don't wander around aimlessly trying to figure out where you fit, unless, of course, you reject the gospel of the kingdom. In that case, you can just follow the fire. Do you understand what I just said to you? People who wander from meeting to meeting to meeting never get their place because you can't get your place in conferences. Do you hear me? They never come into their place, and so they grow old but not up. He baptizes you into your place in the body of Christ, and it's there that the system actualizes. You know, it's like when you stick that little halogen light into that funny, it's got the little two-prongy things, and you're doing over your head, and you're filling here, trying not to go to purgatory, but get the thing, the two little wires and the two little holes up there where you can't see stuff. I'm the only one? And then suddenly, the light comes on. The thing is in its place, and now everybody in the room can see. Because you are functioning in your place. And without you functioning, here's what I've come to understand. If you won't be what you have been made to be, we can't become what we're called to be. every joint supplies. And he's the one that puts you into the place that your Father picked out for you and fashioned you perfectly to fit. Romans 8:16, Paul, who was a man of tremendous revelation, was able to capture this for us. That God communicates to our spirit by his spirit so that the Father's mind is communicated to us spirit to spirit. This is why I urge you over and over and over and over and over, take the communion with God class. It's where you learn that you have been hearing from God. You just didn't realize it was God. Has anybody taken it? Has it helped? If it helps, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. He is the one who wants to communicate to us by our spirit. Now, what's he going to communicate? Well, Jesus said in Luke 12 that he's the teacher. How many of you know when you don't know something, it's good to have a friendly teacher? One that's not going to shake you until you get it. Like somebody's third grade teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And he's your guide, according to John 16:13. He will guide you, not only teach you, he'll guide you into all truth. How many of you know the difference between being taught and guided into truth? Being taught is, you take this bundle of shingles, lay it up on your right shoulder, and then you climb that ladder. Being guided is with that, however many pounds it is, you start going up this thing one-handed. It's different on the ground. Me too, brother. He will guide you into all truth. Now, I like this, John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another comforter. He will give you another advocate. He will give you another intercessor. Those sound like good things to me, people. I'm glad he's praying for me. Our Father intends that God the Holy Spirit would accompany us. Now, I say it like that because early on, it's comforting to know that God the Holy Spirit comforts us. He accompanies us. You follow me? Because it sounds like he goes with me where I'm going. That's where we start out. Jesus said to Peter, a universal truth, when you're old, they will lead you where you don't want to go. So the sales pitch is, God, the Holy Spirit, will accompany you. The other side of that coin is, later on, you will accompany him. And I promise you, he will take you where you do not want to go. But if it's the Lord's will, a follower of Christ says, yes, Lord, and you go. Any old-timers know what I'm saying? That he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because, now understand to whom he was speaking. These are the guys that Jesus had sent out two by two. He said, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Go into every village where I'm going to come and declare the gospel of the kingdom there. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. All right? This is the group that to whom he is speaking. And he says to this group, he will be with you. Did they already know that? Absolutely. They'd come back rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. All right? And he said this. Get it? He said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to your name. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Why? Because not only will he be with you, he shall be in you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How's that possible? Because I'm going to hide inside your skin. That's pretty up close and personal, folks. That's like, now I lay us down to sleep. Lord, since you're awake, I'll just go ahead and sleep the sleep of the beloved, okay? And if anything comes to me in my dreams, you just kind of nudge me and I'll get semi-conscious, rebuke it, and fall right back down in my sleep. And you just stay on guard because you never sleep or slumber anyway. Is this close? You ought to be able to feel this now. So Peter and the 11 stood up and they said, "For this promise is to you and to all your posterity, even as many, even those outside your posterity, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Have you been called? Have you been empowered? See, I know not all of us have. Here's the deal. When I was coming up in this stuff, and I, you know, and as a Southern Baptist, you don't come up in this stuff. I had to get out of there to come up in this. Because now I'm one of those devil worshipers. That's what they told us. The Pope was Antichrist and the Pentecostals were the devil worshipers. I could never figure out why they weren't working for him. But it's just questions of a young mind. But when I was coming up in this stuff in the 70s, we didn't have a lot of clarity because it was an outpouring of God. The charismatic outpouring started in somewhere in the late 60s, if I remember correctly. And it sort of swept the world. It was like 100 million people came in speaking in tongues. I first read about it in Newsweek. That's how I heard about it. Newsweek magazine. The charismatic outpouring had hit the Roman Catholic Church. And they were having to come to grips with the fact that there was something they couldn't control happening and how to respond to it. When we first moved into St. Mary's County, the most happening thing in the county was over on Rankin High School among the brothers, the Catholic brothers. They and the charismatic nuns hosted an event on a Friday or Saturday. It was like every weekend, wasn't it? And we would hang out there. And I mean, for a Baptist school fellowship with Catholics, that's like a huge deal. You know what I'm saying? I have been on a journey. But back in that era, because we lacked a kingdom context, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a goal. Do you understand? Like getting saved was a goal. Get them saved. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they speak in tongues. Woo! So what? You know? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a goal. It's a threshold. It's supposed to be the next step on the way to obedience. And it goes with you once you cross that threshold into the other stuff. But of what value is it to have a really powerful weapon in your holster if you never go anyplace where you have to draw it or show your badge? I mean, how effective would the police... Please don't take this negatively, but how effective would they be if they just held up in their barracks with one another? Of what benefit would be all the training and the empowerment if they're not going to go out into the darkness? And so while I'm making an appeal to you today that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to understand it has a context. It's not so you can say, yeah, I got that experience back in 2007, you know. It is part of that which you take with you as you go follow Christ. I want you to know something. When you're standing in a jail with a bunch of prisoners, it's nice to know your gun is loaded. That when you call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be healed. And you know it going in.
Right now?
It was a fun night. But only because His presence came and did the kingdom stuff. Half of that 75 got healed, and they all stood to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you're going to come out of prison into a different life, something drastically had better happen to you. All right? And the Holy Spirit is drastic stuff. It cost me my relationship to my former religious tradition. Cost me my relationship to many former friends who consider me a heretic. But it gave me a life. It gave me intimacy with the Lord. It gave me the ability to be instructed by Him routinely. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the best ride in the park. So, guess what?
I was working the day shift on Saturday morning, Sunday morning in Prague when I looked out and I saw people who clearly didn't have their lights on. And I thought, there's a power shortage here someplace. We need to connect them. So I called my supervisor, and he said, well, have them come forward. I have a battery pack for each one of them. There are those of you here, and I'm not going to call you by name just because I know some of you, but there are those of you here who need to get fully engaged in the affairs of the Lord. The issue of being born again, being water baptized, and being filled with the Spirit are just to get you in the turnstile. You don't camp there. The whole park is available to you. But you need your hand punched so you can get on every ride. What she said. Just stamp that thing. You know? Indelibly. Now, I realize some of you want invisible ink so you don't give yourself away. Work that out with your Lord. But some of the rides are scary. And you need to take all the provision with you throughout the thing. So, I'm going to ask you to stand. That's the good, you know what that means? It's almost over. By the way, Tim, last week I announced that we could have folks sign up for water baptism, and there was no sign-up place. So we got some folks that want to sign up. So if we could get a sign-up place in the lobby, we'll be doing a water baptism service next month. If you need to do it before that, we can arrange that. Well, that's right. This is July. We're going to do it this month. How did July get here? 2 days ago, it was February. I looked at the alarm a little before 6 this morning, and I thought, you know, my life is marked by Sundays. And then I shook it off and got excited. All right, here we go. If you know that you're lacking because you have not settled this issue, I'm calling you to settle this issue today. And it's an easy thing. In fact, a dear friend of mine was sharing a story with me just this past week about having hands laid on them in the Communion with God course, and then on another occasion speaking about the fact they'd not broken through, and they had hands laid on them again. And then one day they were sitting in their living room all by themselves, communing with the Lord, and they felt this, was it warmth? Person I'm not speaking about? It was warmth that came and just kind of set inside there. And then, according to the scripture, the word naba, which means bubble, this was 2 in 1 month that just began to burp tongues. So it doesn't have to be an ordeal. How many of you have ever been in a Pentecostal church where you saw everybody in the world grabbing you, shaking your head, and yelling in tongues?
Release that memory. God heal you right now, because that ain't happening here.
But if you desire to more fully engage the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of Him, if you want to have that sense, I can do this, I think I can, He is the deal. He is the power of God unto salvation, which is the whole issue, the total redemption of your life. So if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want to settle that issue today, I invite you to the altar. If you've not begun your relationship with Christ, Pastor Don is going to stand right here, pray with you, and your lights are going to come on. If all you see is darkness and depression, it's because you can't yet see. When we sang the songs we sang this morning in worship, how many of you noticed they were full of positive, uplifting things? Because that's the way the Spirit of God causes you to see your Father's creation and your place in it. So if you're depressed and drawn down and you've got that sense of hopelessness about you, look, Jesus is the hope for your life. I'm going to pray and ask God to move upon you. Anybody here in pain this morning? You got physical pain in your body right now? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and we'll pray and God will heal you, okay? Just keep your hands up as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for the testimony that Christ has risen from the dead. And that testimony is the activity of God the Holy Spirit, the prime delegate of God in the earth on our behalf. We host His presence. We enjoy the liberty of that name. We stand in the freedom and hope of that resurrection.
Right now, I command in the name of the Prince of Peace, peace meaning the one who destroys the authority that establishes disorder, I command all pain to go in Jesus' name. Even as they have their hands up, Lord, whether it be foot, a small of the back, and a shoulder, I ask those things be healed. Right now, your fire just come and touch it in Jesus' name and put the testimony of your mercy upon their lips. Lord, I ask you, you convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Holy Spirit, draw them to Christ right now. Let Pastor Don pray with them. Let their life be transformed today. And let's get on with the fun part of living for the Lord. Right now, I take authority over deceiving spirits, lying spirits, and spirits of timidity. You have not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I call them forth, Lord, in the soundness of their own mind to stand and present themselves as followers of Christ. Some of us, Lord, may need to just come and say, Lord, I haven't been doing well. Can we start over? And you're always the yes man for that prayer. So I invite you, Holy Spirit, to do the work of Jesus here in this moment. Amen. The altar is open. If you feel like you need to respond, we're here to pray with you. God's here to do for you. And the rest of you can go to lunch, fellowship downstairs, greet our guests, but whatever you're going to do, do it in that direction.